Well, hello, and a very warm welcome to Barkham Church for our remote service. It's great to have you joining us today, whether you're a regular member of our church, or someone who's found us through a friend or relative, or perhaps you've just been looking on the web and come across us. Whatever the reason, we're delighted that you're listening in, and hopefully joining in. My name's Michael Byrne, and I'm on the leadership team at Barkham. I'll be leading us through this service, but it'll be helpful if you have access to a service sheet, particularly for the parts in bold, where you are invited to join in. As we normally do over the summer, we're preaching through a few of the Psalms, and today David Horrocks will be taking us through Psalm 46. But in a moment we're going to say Psalm 95 together, which is printed on the sheet. The first part is a call to come and worship the Lord our God, to honour him, and to do so particularly by listening to his voice. But the last part is a warning. Do you see that just before verse 8? Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. That's referring to a time when God's people had just left slavery in Egypt and were on their way to the land God had promised to them. They were camped at this place where there was no water to drink. Exodus 17 says, "So they quarrelled with Moses and said, 'Give us water to drink.' Moses replied, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?'" Now, I wonder if you can find your pulse. If you're a little person, you may need an older member of your family to help. See if you can feel that throbbing sensation as the blood pushes through your veins and around your body. Two good places to try are on the inside of your wrist at the base of your thumb, or on the side of your neck just below your jaw. You might like to see in how many different places on your body you can feel your pulse. Do pause this recording if you need more time to check you're still alive. Well, that pulse tells you that your heart is working, pumping the blood round your body. It tells you that your heart is soft, able to respond to the messages from your brain telling it to pump. If your heart was hard and stiff, it couldn't do that. This psalm says, "Do not harden your heart." It's not, of course, talking about your physical heart, but about your spiritual heart. Don't allow it to be hard and resisting what God is saying to you. So do join in now, and let's be those who are really wanting to hear what the Lord our God wants to say to us. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, "They are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways." So I declared on oath in my anger, "They shall never enter my rest." Well, worshipping God in the way we should is not something we can just do in our own strength. We need God's help. So let's pray for that in this prayer on the sheet. O God, the glory of your saints, who being above all, and through all, and in all, does yet accept the prayer of the humble. Grant that we, being hallowed in mind, fervent in spirit, and innocent in body, may offer to you the pure sacrifice of hearts uplifted in your praise, and lives devoted to your service, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, older members who grew up through a Sunday school will probably recognise the first verse of our first song as a favourite chorus which we used to sing on its own. But this modern version adds three verses and a different chorus. In these verses we are urged in turn to look to the crucified Jesus, to the risen Jesus, and then to the returning Jesus. Let's turn our eyes upon him now as we sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Jesus, to Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
As you turned your eyes to the hillside, did you see your sin there? Did you see that great debt you owe to your Maker wiped out by Jesus? Maybe in the last 24 hours or the last week, there's some particular way in which you have grieved him. Whatever is on your heart that you know is a barrier between you and the Lord your God, bring it to him now and ask him again for his mercy. Let's pray this prayer of confession together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to change what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Some words from Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Yes, Father, who indeed is a God like you? Thank you that you have so comprehensively dealt with our sin. Thank you for your mercy towards us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's time now for our Bible reading. Claire is going to bring that, then David will be up to preach.
Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray now that you would give us humble, expectant, grateful and obedient hearts to receive it well. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So what makes you most scared? You haven't got to tell anyone else, don't worry about that. But most of us know deep down, don't we, the things that scare us most of all. Perhaps it's that other child at school who's so horrid, and it's bad news when you see them coming towards you in the playground, especially when there isn't a grown-up anywhere near. Perhaps it's the reaction you know there'll probably be on social media, maybe, from loads of people in your year or where you work if they suddenly realise you're serious about following Jesus. You've seen what happens when the crowd turns on someone and you shudder at the thought of that ever happening to you. Maybe it's the virus, especially after a couple of weeks when so many of the headlines have been negative again. What if there is a big second wave or a winter lockdown? What if I do lose my job if someone I love gets ill and there's nothing I can do. For so many of our brothers and sisters around the world, of course, it's the fear of real persecution just because they're Christians. I heard a few weeks ago that one of the pastors who's always been on the preaching course I've helped to run in Lucknow in India quite a few times, such a lovely, encouraging man, he's been in intensive care after being brutally beaten in the street on his way home from a church meeting one evening. Imagine knowing something like that could happen to you or your family at any time. There are so many things that might make us fear, aren't there, in a world like this, even in lives like ours. So what do you do when it feels as if everything is falling apart, as if when it really does look as if evil has got the upper hand? Well, Psalm 46 shows the way. I love Psalm 46. Lots of Christians love this psalm. If you're into posters and screensavers, do you know the kind of thing with lovely photos and then Bible verses written into them? There is every chance you will have come across verses from this psalm. Maybe it was verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Perhaps it was verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Or possibly verse 11, which you'll notice, just in case you missed it, repeats verse 7, just to really press those words into our hearts and our heads again. Aren't they magnificent words? Don't you love their mood of calm confidence, that settled sense that things will be well? Wouldn't you love to be like that too? And to know more of that calm confidence yourself? Well, that's what the psalm wants us to be like. But when? Have another look. What sort of things are going on as these words are sung? What kinds of things did the psalmists have on their minds as they wrote? Was everything easy? Was it all calm and pleasant and sunny as far as the eye could see? No. Verse 2, notice, talks about the earth giving way, mountains tumbling into the sea. Verse 3 talks about waters getting so violent, mountains quake with fear. Mountains, notice, the things in all creation that don't change. Think of a mountain that you know well, maybe one you've climbed once or twice or walked up. Can you picture it in your mind's eye? Well, now imagine a painting of it done hundreds of years ago. What does it look like? Just the same. I mean, everything else, the buildings, the scenery, that's all different. But the mountain itself, basically unchanged. Not here, though. Notice, this is it's picture language for creation coming undone. In the Bible, the sea, waters, they're often used as pictures of evil, restless forces, completely beyond our control. If ever you've been at the coast during a great storm, or even worse, out on a boat, you'll know why the Bible uses the sea and waters as that kind of an image, because it is terrifying being at the mercy of forces that are so destructive and so untamable. And now look on to verse 6. What does the psalm talk about there? Nations in uproar. Kingdoms falling. You've done history at school at some point, even if you hated it and it was ages ago. You've certainly watched the news, I'm sure. We all know what nations roaring and kingdoms falling involves. Threats and tensions and wars and reprisals and refugees, the lot. And it's in the midst of things like that that this psalm encourages us to lift our voices and sing those remarkable opening words. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Do you get the point? Psalm 46, it's not just a song to sing in a monastery or on a Christian retreat when everything seems to be great and everyone seems to be on side. It's not just a song for the peaceful times. It is a song for God's people to sing at the very, very hardest times of all. It is a song to sing in playgrounds when there is no one to stop the bully, when your social media feed is just poisonous, It's a song to sing when you're waiting for important exam results with no idea whether they'll be fair. It's a song to sing when you're at home with family, when home and family are not the safe places they're meant to be. It's a song to sing when your boss calls you in because someone has made a complaint about your faith. It's a song to sing in doctor's offices when the news is bad, or when you're watching the news and the headlines about the virus are scary again. That is when we're to raise our voices and sing these lovely words. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, even in the face of all this, we will not fear. Why? How? What is it that allows us to be calm and confident even when things do seem to be falling apart and evil looks like it's winning? What is the secret? Well, verse one, once more. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Just take a moment to let those words roll round your mind a little bit. He's our refuge, our protection, our armour, the one who, if we're trusting Jesus, stands between us and trouble and keeps us safe from anything he knows would do us harm. He's our strength, the one who keeps giving us whatever he knows we need to keep going through the next day, the next few moments even, in circumstances when left to ourselves we would have been out for the count ages ago. An ever-present help in trouble. I was flicking through the TV channels one evening the other week. I came across Police Code Zero, Officer Under Attack on Channel 5, and got quite into it, actually, especially when I realised they were talking about something that happened not that far away, just outside Newbury, not that long ago. Two police officers were sent up to this remote place in the countryside on a hillside to follow up reports that a car had crashed, and they came across the drunk driver, who completely lost it with them, went for them like an animal. They recorded it on their cameras. It was terrifying. He hurt them both badly and they called for help, but they were in the middle of nowhere. 15 minutes it took for reinforcements to arrive. I used to work in London, one of them said afterwards. You call for help there, it's never more than a minute away, but not in rural Berkshire. It was the longest 15 minutes of their lives. Is that what God is like? More than able to help? Ready to? But it might just be a while before he's there. No, end of verse 1 again. He's ever present. If you're his, trust in Christ. He's right there with you too, all the time. I used to work for people who had bodyguards back in my MOD days in the dim and distant past. I helped to arrange bodyguards for some people sometimes. Even had them for myself for a few days when I got to play a VIP on a training exercise. It is amazing how safe bodyguards make you feel. But at the end of the day, they were just blokes with training, courage and guns. Such limits to what they can do. Plenty of situations they're helpless too, but not the Lord Almighty, verse 7. Literally there it is, the Lord of hosts. No matter how many angel armies you imagine him commanding, you're way short. That Lord, right there with his people, with you, utterly committed to your protection. And able, notice this, to take the roaring, foaming, surging waters of evil and destruction, verse 3, and in his infinite power and wisdom, use them, verse 4, notice, for your ultimate joy. To make you glad. It is such a striking contrast, isn't it? From the outside, verse 3, the waters look absolutely terrifying. From the inside, where God is, if he's with you, a river that brings blessing. You know, there are no river trips when you visit Jerusalem, incidentally. There never have been, because there's never been a river there. Just another clue, actually, that what the psalmist was singing about here was never just Jerusalem, but what Jerusalem was always pointing forwards to, too. Life among God's people, safe with Jesus, where even the evil that gets aimed at us turns out for our good, too. It may not always be easy to see how, of course, especially at the time, but You don't have to be in Christian circles for very long before you start to hear stories of how the Lord has used dreadful things his church has faced for his church's good. He is a God who takes evil aimed at his people and uses it for their good. And he's a God, verse 6, who controls history with just a word. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. Like in the playground when the bully is about to strike and then suddenly you hear the roar of the head teacher's voice and everything changes. Suddenly it's so clear who is really in charge and you're safe again. You read the Old Testament and there are so many nations as you read through. There's Egyptians and Philistines and Assyrians and Babylonians and Persians and others raging and in uproar against God's people, each in the end silenced by his voice. Same in the New Testament. We've been getting a bit of a taste of it in the book of Acts. Religious leaders in uproar against the church. In the end, though, helpless before God's word, the earth-melting voice of the one who is so on his people's side. Rome, which so dominated the world back then in the days of Acts, now just a load of ruins and lots of pages in history books. Well, God's church, still growing today. Just as every force which seems to dominate our world today will one day be silenced by him too, well, his church will always remain. So what do we do? Because we've read Psalm 46. Or verse 8. See, verses 1 to 7 tell us truths. Verses 8 to the end tell us the difference those truths should make, don't they? Have a look. Verse 8. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Come and see all those times he has acted to protect and strengthen his people and shown what an ever-present help he really is. The long and ever-growing list of those who over the centuries have tried to stand against him and failed because they were silenced by him. And realize that every time God swept them away, their empires, their thrones, their ideologies, it was just another foretaste of his final victory to come on the day when, verse 9, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth, breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the shields with fire. Come and see the future. That is saying, come and see how things will one day be. And then while there's still time, listen, verse 10. Listen to his voice. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And so, as we finish, can I ask, are you listening? You who are daring to stand against God and his plan and his people, that verse is saying, you, be still. Stop it now. Realize he will be exalted right across the world. You don't stand a chance. So stop fighting him. Find safety in bowing before Jesus now. And you who are part of his people but scared, verse 10 is saying, you who are really worrying about things, bullies and cancel culture and the virus and persecution and exam results and so on, all those ways things seem to be falling apart and evil seems to have the upper hand, you, be still too. Let go. It's okay. He's in charge. He's got you. He's with you. And he will be exalted in the end, not least, by keeping and blessing you. So as we finish, take a breath. And one more time, say verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the kind of God that you are. So powerful, so utterly in control, so unthreatened by evil, and so utterly committed to the good of your people. We thank you that we have seen that so clearly in the Lord Jesus, in what you have done for him, and we praise you for the security that is ours in him today. We pray that whatever goes on around us, whatever comes into our lives, you would help us not to fear, but to remember you're our strength, our refuge, and ever-present help in times of trouble. You, the Lord of hosts, are with us, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, what a God we have. Are you able to say that God is your refuge and strength, that the Lord Almighty is with you? If so, then you should be able to say the words of this creed that we're going to say now. You might like to stand as we say this, remembering that as we do so, we're standing with Christians across the world and down the ages in making these declarations. So please join with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, Lisa is now going to lead us in our prayers.
Today in our prayers, we'll remember the world and our church family and our mission partner, Open Doors. Open Doors works in more than 60 countries, supplying Bibles, training church leaders, providing practical support and emergency relief, and supporting Christians who suffer for their faith. Let us pray. Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. So we come to you aware of what a privilege it is to pray to you, yet confident in both your power and your faithful love. We pray for those affected by the huge explosion in Beirut on Tuesday. Please provide relief, medical supplies, food and shelter for the thousands injured or who have lost homes and livelihoods. For those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, please provide comfort. May the authorities managing the emergency response receive all the practical and financial support they need. And we also pray for openness and honesty as investigations into the causes continue. Lord, there are many Christians in Lebanon and some churches directly affected by what happened in that explosion. So we pray that the church would stand strong, would be a light to many and a beacon of hope and help in their communities. We continue to pray about the coronavirus pandemic, with many countries seeing new increases in cases and uncertainty about how the situation will develop here in the UK. Please help governments and advisers and all of us to make wise decisions in these difficult times. Thank you for progress in the development of vaccines and tests for COVID-19 and for improvements in monitoring. Please bring success to these research and technology efforts, so that all may benefit. Nothing is too hard for you, Sovereign Lord. For your name's sake we pray. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for the work of Open Doors in supporting persecuted Christians around the world. We praise you that almost 2 million Bibles or Christian books were distributed to Christians in need last year. Thank you for the boldness of those who took risks to take your word to places where the Bible is banned. Please protect them as they continue to do this work. We praise you for the discipleship courses and seminars which have been so beneficial to those recovering from persecution or the trauma of war and displacement. Please may programs continue despite social distancing and other restrictions. And we pray that even more people might benefit, especially those who are more isolated, as online training increases. North Korea is still the most dangerous country on earth to be a Christian. Lord, please help Open Doors workers who take care of shelters and safe houses for North Korean refugees in China. Please continue to grow your church and give comfort to Christians who are in prison and courage to those who are secret believers. Lord, your eyes are on the righteous and your ears are attentive to their cry. So please hear our prayer. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for your kindness to our own church family and that many have been able to return to meeting in person on Sundays. Thank you that John Wall could come out of hospital on Tuesday. Please help him to settle back in and please help the arrangements for ongoing care for him and Jean. Help them both to know Jesus very close to them at the moment. Thank you for HBC Online this week and for the work of Melissa and Phil and all who contributed video clips. Please would many families watch it and be reminded of the good news of Jesus. Father, we pray for young people who are waiting for A-level and GCSE results this week and next. Please help them not to be anxious, but to trust you for the outcomes, trusting that you have good plans for them, that you'll guide their steps, and your goodness and mercy will follow them wherever they go. Finally, Heavenly Father, we pray for those taking time off over coming weeks with holidays at home or away. Please keep them safe and healthy in travelling or in new places they go to. May they be refreshed by a change of pace or a change of scene. And may they find rest in Jesus, spending time in your word. Amen. And now we'll use the words that Jesus taught us to pray. In the service sheets, you'll find the Lord's Prayer. Please join with me in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Together we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
In John 10, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Our final song speaks of that utter security we have in him, even when our faith in him seems so weak. Let's be encouraged as we sing, "When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast."
Thank you.
he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast, precious in his holy sight. He will hold me fast, he'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, bought by him at such a cost. He will hold me fast, he will hold me fast, he will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. Justice has been satisfied, he will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast, till our faith is turned to sight, when he comes at last.
We're more or less finished. Thanks so much for joining us today. Do tune in again next Sunday when our minister Julian will be preaching on Psalm 47. Or if you're local and able to get out, why not come along to one of our live services at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. We'd love to see you. Let's finish with Paul's words of praise at the end of Romans. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory for ever through Jesus Christ. Amen.